The rain is finally here. Welcome to the Dr. Zeus Film Podcast. It's getting colder, but more so California cold. There's a difference between our cold and the rest of the world, the rest of the country. It's also a time to just stay in, watch a really good film, watch a documentary. I love documentaries. And there's a really great documentary that I want to talk about, because 6 years ago, we lost Carrie Fisher. And then a few days later, we lost her mother, Debbie Reynolds.
No, it's just that you're different. Every child is different.
I don't buy this.
You never bought anything that I said, so.
What does he get in the will?
Lived together, we would argue.
Yes. It's possible.
Just in time, I found you just in time.
A very heavy beaded dress.
It is quite beautiful.
It's beautiful, but it weighs more than she does.
It does weigh about 50 pounds, but it's so beautiful.
Worth it.
No, that's Elizabeth's.
This belongs to
I bought that at Elizabeth's Haven's auction. I wanted it.
This is one during her Momo phase.
Yeah, well, it's pretty, really.
Look. It has a drag queen.
Oh, now just do what your mother says. It makes life easier.
As
if. Bright Lights, Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, released in 2017, 5 years ago. Both of them died within days of each other. It was disturbing. But at the same time, some would say Debbie Reynolds died of a broken heart because she had lost her daughter, whom she loved so much. And then Carrie Fisher, come on. Princess Leia. I mean, they were a fascinating pair. Let's go into the trailer, though, because I'm not going to play the whole farm.
Mother and I live next door to each other. Money, mommy, I'm home. You cannot keep that phone. That's from when they first invented cell phones.
Works fine.
It's ridiculous.
Just dandy.
I have to go and start rehearsals for Star Wars 72. I'm concerned because my mother is not feeling well. This for the show?
I forgot I had it.
That's what's good about losing your memory is there's so many surprises.
It's like the old days in a way, but I'm like the old days, so.
My family in particular could overwhelm most people. It wasn't just my mother that was super famous. My dad was a world-class singer. They were the couple of America. What a heck of a marketing tool.
My mother, she'll forget. She's not 35. Age is horrible for all of us, but she falls from a greater height.
Manic depressive is a disease. That was not diagnosed then. So nobody kind of knew what was going on with Carrie.
I went too fast. I was too much. I couldn't handle it.
That's it. That's all.
Okay, look.
Turn around this way because your rear end is to the camera.
I'm my mom's best friend.
I share everything with my dog.
That's right.
Especially the chick.
Far more than I ever would want to. I know what my mother feels and wants.
Yeah, just do what your mother says. It makes life easier.
As if. There's a lot of it.
And so it premiered on HBO in January of 2017. A month after both Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds died. Of recent, Carrie Fisher received her star on the Walk of Fame. It was bittersweet. if you look at it in terms of, you know, and there's all this talk about nepotism and in the industry and film and in music, nepotism, when you are a famous child who comes from famous parents. And that, in Carrie and Todd Fisher's case, that was the case right there. Was Eddie Fisher was their father and Debbie Reynolds was their mother. And you know, you could also say the same about Jamie Lee Curtis and her mother, Janet Lee, a second generation star. And both Jamie Lee and Carrie were able to navigate that. But it was a tough thing. I mean, you look at Debbie Reynolds was known for Singing in the Rain, that song Tammy, the unsinkable Molly Brown, and how she conducted herself during the whole Elizabeth Taylor, Eddie Fisher affair and the divorce. And then you have Carrie Fisher, who is known for Star Wars, Princess Leia, Postcards from the Edge, which she wrote, The Blues Brothers, When Harry Met Sally. The fact that she had, you know, she was publicly in different relationships. She was married to Paul Simon for a little while. And so these women, very strong women, you know, if you look at the different generations. I mean, Debbie Reynolds was born in 1932. Carrie Fisher was born in 1956. So it really is. It's a different thing. Here they are singing together.
Say no to you, my daughter. Whatever you say, I'll do. If you ask me,
Carrie Fisher,
for a lifetime. At you, I'll smile if you say be glad. I'll weep because I'm bipolar. Today is tomorrow. If you do too much blow, I'll stay.
And Carrie Fisher, like her mother and her father, she had the gift, she had the talent. But Bright Lights was hilarious. It was hilarious, and it was bittersweet that these two women, you know, didn't live to see it air on television, and that's a sad thing. It's the holidays. We're almost out of the holidays. We're almost diving into a new year. Oh my goodness. And it's been an interesting year. You know, it's had its moments. But 5 years ago, this really unfortunately was the talk of the town. How Carrie Fisher in 2016, a lot of well-known people died. A lot of well-known people.
That's good, but losing your memory is it's so many surprises.
I have found some things work. Not enough.
There's never enough Listerine.
I'm just going to go fill it.
Remember, we had a relative that drank Listerine.
She was an alcoholic.
And 18 bottles of vanilla. Okay.
That's it. That's all.
Okay, look.
Turn around this way because your rear end is to the camera.
Oh, my God. I don't like not knowing what's happening. I worry a little.
Well,
I worry what the show costs you. That's all. I know you like to do it.
I have caught up with a few people in age. Whoa.
But they're in bed and you're doing a show.
Like George Burns says, I'm going to stay on stage until I drop dead, and then I'm going to have myself stuffed like Trigger, and then I'll put me in a museum.
That's nice. Well,
do you like that?
We could just leave this house. I totally understand why she's doing it, and it makes me nervous. She'll forget
She's not 35. You know, it doesn't make sense to her that her body isn't cooperating. And she just thinks if she ignores it, it'll go away. Everything in me demands that my mother be as she always was, even if that way is irritating. She just can't change. That's the rule. And she's fucking with me. Age is, it's horrible for all of us, but she falls from a greater height.
We gotta pull away from that. And so, yeah, the candor and the honesty of Carrie Fisher and her mother, Debbie Reynolds. But there's a difference, as I said before, with the generations. With Carrie Fisher of her generation, there were certain things you didn't talk about. And with Debbie Reynolds, actually, I'm sorry, I'm so tired. With Debbie Reynolds, there were certain things you didn't talk about. With Carrie Fisher, she's very open.
Mark, over the years, you sort of run into one another in the cafeterias. Harrison, Mark, over the years, you sort of run into one another in the cafeteria, the celebrity cafeteria. And they, you know, we all just look more melted.
Did you always want to be an actress?
No, I wasn't running around saying I want to be an actress.
You know, I think you got exactly the same eyes as your mother. And your chin's a little bit like hers, too.
I only did shampoo because I was hanging around a set and they, you know, I mean, almost. I was a type. That was when Debbie wanted me to use the word screw instead of fuck. And Warren had to come over and convince her.
Can't we just be friends?
You wanna fuck?
And Star Wars came out when I was 20. I met Paul the next year and boom. Suddenly, I'm with the people that are the best at what they do. The best actors and the best directors. And that was fun and scary to be around that. It was all a surprise. It all happened very fast and very soon.
Carrie, someone's here.
Hey, fuckface.
Coming.
Where are you?
I'm looking for the one I love. To find me.
Is this?
Home at last. It's Gary, our son.
Where are we going?
We're going into the bedroom, as per usual.
So how's the new Star Wars going?
I'm not allowed to answer that. Close your eyes.
Can I open them?
Yeah. That's the only part of the happy birthday song that I've been able to learn. That is what we sing now.
Oh, my God. That is filthy. Look at that's his dick that's keeping the time.
And they can do.
It's a second-hand dick.
They call me second-hand dick.
So beautiful.
Isn't it great?
But I can really keep it?
You can really keep it.
You know, I was thinking it's very funny that we're running into each other in London, too. Because so many things happened to us here in London. I remember you had a boyfriend, and you were a virgin. And you didn't want him to know you were a virgin. So I helped you out as a friend.
He relieved me of the...
The burden.
Burden of my, what is that called?
Virginity?
No, but there's hymen.
Oh, the hymen. I took the pressure off your hymen.
My hymen was a burden to me.
But that's what a real friend does.
That really is.
But it was funny, you know, they always say sex can ruin a friendship.
That's Griffin Dunne, the actor. Who was good friends with Carrie Fisher. You know, to and then here's Carrie talking to Eddie.
I wanted to be your best girl, and that's a tough competition. Yeah, well, you know, if your competition to be best girl with you is like Elizabeth Taylor, well,
think I'm going to do well with that one. But I think I'm funnier than Elizabeth Taylor. Anyway, that's always been a goal.
Oh, really?
You love me.
It's just...
And that's, I believe, a final meeting with her father, Eddie, who doesn't look great. And then, of course, we can't forget the amazing Debbie Reynolds.
Just one of those fabulous. It wasn't my day.
Debbie, while you're here, can you just tell us about the shoes and stuff?
This is Judy Garland's shoe. Well, I was, of course. They look small, don't they? They would fit me. She wore 5 1/2.
I'll get that for you. Sorry. Okay.
I think we should end it at the end of this.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think everything's going wrong. Okay. This is... We're off to see the wizard. Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Chaplain. Come on. Come on.
Thanks, Debbie.
Come on.
Vegas. I know Dwight does. Dwight always wants to go to Vegas. And they get very excited. Come on, it's hard to take both of them. Come on, Dwight. We are going to do Vegas with my mother. I didn't know it until my daughter told me. It's absurd. If you're going to retire, you retire. She retires and books an engagement in Vegas and then says, come help me. I don't believe that that's the last one. This is all against doctor's orders now. As if any orders apply to Debbie. But...
So okay. If there's just like anything, it's not embarrassing.
We'll make an area for her.
She doesn't have really a lot of physical energy either.
Got it. We can make this work.
Like...
Yeah. It's okay, Karen. We can make this work. You've done it before. You're gonna set aside like a little area for her of all of her own so she can do it, you know.
These are intimate moments in the documentary. But yeah, in happier times, this was a mother and a daughter relationship that was so strong that Debbie felt she couldn't live anymore, and so she died right after Carrie.
It's my day to be quiet and alone is good. I have to go to my meeting now, but I just wanted to say hello. I love you. I love you. Where are you going?
I'm coming up.
I'm coming up.
Well, look, our shoes are the same.
I
don't
sing the
know
song.
What to
I'm
go.
Coming up. One of these days, you will see. I don't know the song. I'll be around.
I'm my mom's best friend. More than a daughter. My mother really wants me to be an extension of her wishes, an extension of her.
Look, they And to a great degree, far more sometimes than I ever would want to, I know what my mother feels and wants. And there's a lot of it.
I share everything with my daughter.
That's right.
Especially the check.
All right, especially the what?
What's the check?
She pays for everything.
Oh, that's... It's not true. She gets furious when I bring up money.
That's me. I'm in a rage. Like breathing out and breathing in.
I am completely independent.
My mother's always liked the idea of living in the compound. It's actually turned out pretty good. She's been there a very long time, and they have obviously survived the decades of being there together.
Remember my 17th birthday party when you lifted your skirt up in front of all those
people? I did not lift my skirt.
It twirled up.
And you weren't wearing any underwear.
Well... Carrie wrote the movie Postcards from the Edge about her relationship with my mother.
I know, and
in the movie, they end up having an argument through two characters, Shirley MacLaine and Meryl Streep.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Don't say that, even in jest, Suzanne.
I was very unhappy back then.
Take it the wrong way.
I was just a mess. And some of the things that are in the movie happened.
Any idea what she's taking?
Pills, sir. Demerol, Percodan, and cocaine.
What are your vitals?
Carrie, at this point, was famously into drugs.
Suzanne!
And my mother was not real happy about it. There was anger, true anger there.
I never said you were a monster.
You don't say it, but you feel it.
Somehow you lay the entire blame for your drug taking on me.
I do not.
I do not, Mother. I took the drugs. Nobody made me.
Carrie and I started getting high together when we were about, I was 15. We used to smoke weed together and we had a lot of fun. And then, you know, she moved on to other things. And I didn't. When I would stop, she would keep going.
I knew something was the matter with me. I went too fast, I was too much. And I was embarrassed of it. The drugs I liked were painkillers. They calmed me down. I just couldn't handle it. I didn't know what it was.
Man.
And that's after, I think, the divorce. She had this.
Blinkin'.
Somehow my mother is unsinkable.
Maybe.
That unsinkable Molly Brown stuff is her.
You know, please. But there'll come a time, cause nothing, no, nobody wants me down like I wants me up.
The idea that my mother is now older and she's more frail, and I'm trying to see what that feels like, but I still don't feel it because she's still who she is inside. She went to school at MGM where they trained you how to behave. And so it's in her consciousness to be at her best at all times.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome. Glad to see you here at last.
And she's a fan before she was ever a star. When she went to MGM, she was enamored like anybody would be. My God, there's Clark Gable. And I have pictures of her with Gary Cooper. You can see she's got stars in her eyes. Who wouldn't? And she's still a fan to this day.
But let me just say that Debbie Reynolds is a self-proclaimed movie-aholic and has an enormous Hollywood memorabilia collection. Altogether, the costumes and props are worth millions of dollars. So this is sort of your nest egg.
Yes, this is. I put all the money I could save after all my husbands, and I bought costumes. This is Marilyn Monroe subway dress.
Wow.
My mother's passion for collecting started when they were auctioning off the back lots of MGM and all the contents. The idea that this stuff was going to be scattered to the four corners of the earth was unconscionable to her. So she took it upon herself to say, I'm going to save it. This is Liz Taylor's stool, makeup stool from Cleopatra. This chandelier back here is called a girando. It's from Marie Antoinette and Camille. In the end, she was successful in amassing the world's largest collection of Hollywood memorabilia. And so she wanted to build a museum.
This is from Molly Brown.
That's right. People are always amazed when they come to Hollywood. There's no museum of film history.
I've tried. It's just that no one seems to be interested that's in the business. The public, the fans are interested. I'm interested.
We have for decades struggled to build this museum. It was impossible to believe that this wasn't going to happen. But we couldn't find a partner who shared her vision. Deal after deal fell through.
Wizard of Oz, that's Judy Garland.
Chokes me up now. You know, here we are, we'll talk about this another 10 years, I'll get choked up. Nobody wants to see their mother's heart broken, and we saw it. When we had the first two auctions, it was very traumatic for my mother.
Very interesting point of view.
We sold the Marilyn Monroe subway dress from the 7-year itch for $6.2 million. The truth is the collection was sinking her financially. We had debt. Because we had borrowed money to get a lot of this stuff. And we don't have a museum. We were done.
That's Bright Lights, Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. Available on HBO, available on DVD. It's a weird thing to witness these characters, these icons that you've watched all of your life. Debbie Reynolds in the unsinkable Molly Brown. Carrie Fisher, of course, in Star Wars. Carrie Fisher will be forever known for Star Wars. Yes, Harry Met Sally. Yes, Postcards from the Edge. But Star Wars? Think about that. That's where you could say she has matched her mother. Because Debbie Reynolds will always be known for Singing in the Rain. My grandmother's generation knew that. My mother's generation knew that. And I know that Debbie Reynolds will forever be known for singing Good Morning to Gene Kelly. And dancing with Gene Kelly. And of course, the unsinkable Molly Brown. And singing that song, Tammy, which she had a hit. And of course, unfortunately, that divorce with Eddie Fisher, because what happened? He, fell for Elizabeth Taylor. But that's not what we're going to talk about. We've talked about this documentary about a mother and a daughter who were so close, so inseparable, that they died within a day of each other. Carrie Fisher died on December 27th, 2016. And Debbie Reynolds died on December 28th, 2016. And so it's sad. It's sad. But at the same time, everyone is kind of, they feel it, that they're together. That, you know, because you can't break that bond that Carrie and Debbie had. So that's the Dr. Zeus Film Podcast, wherever they are. It's unpleasant dreams.